A fool if I take it all for granted. A smart man if I keep my feet planted to the earth. Cause the people that hurt can understand it. You speaking outlandish, I'ma show you how to make it all work. Another planet is a short term goal for me. A record soul for me. It's just more of me in your ear. For you to hear Kendrick persevere. Defenses I feel relentless. Ambition with a clear vision. Taking off, I ain't taking off these pistons. I'm taking off on the enemy. Your distance came across me. How much it'll cost me to get you out my business. I said a planet is a short term goal. No sky is the limit. I'm past that, now past that. Award not one but four times two plus yours.
I see myself performing that.
K-Dot.
Sold out shows where the room is packed.
Uh-huh.
Sitting at the Grammys winning five awards. See myself on big billboards. Traveling around the world with endorsement deals. Can't imagine how it feels. That's why I'm smiling every day, because my dream ain't far away.
Looking at me and you tell me I'm blessed. Calculated my steps, my heart, my breath. Breathe lungs of a victory and vividly you see me when I'm at my best. My worst is first, dedicated to the days that I slept with a curse.
Yo, 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 yo. Welcome to Airball. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFM, Effort Tufts Freeform Radio. Before we start talking about basketball, and before you all can call into the show, look up the number. Let me read it off. Loopy, am I moving? Actually, we got a PSA first. It's storm season. Emergency preparedness. We got to be prepared for the storm. It's storm season. With power outages and weather-related emergencies more likely than the rest of the year. So be prepared ahead of time by having a couple of gallons of drinking water and at least a few days' worth of healthy, tasty, ready-to-eat food already stored in your home. Let other people scramble to the supermarket and wait on long lines while you safely ride out the storm from the comfort of your home. This is a public service message from WMFO Medford Tufts Educational Radio. Wow, storms. I mean, it's a real one out there today. How about that weather?
Terrible.
Oh.
We have a weather channel now?
Yeah, here, let me do a little weather report. I've been thinking about the weather today, because someone just told me I don't make blanket statements about the weather. I do, but I want to stop doing that. Maybe the weather, we should all just be indifferent to the weather. Rather than saying, oh, it's a nice day out, you just say, oh, it's a day out.
Yeah, the weather is something you can always appreciate. So I think that's a very beautiful way to put it, Jonah.
Yeah.
I love your takes on weather.
Yeah. We were complaining about the weather all morning. We woke up at 6 in the morning.
Because normally you get up and you're just like, you get the sunrise.
Yeah.
We didn't have that.
We did not have it. Yeah. Anyways, for all of you who haven't listened, this is Airball. We're a basketball talk show. We love talking ball on the air. And this is March. It's a key moment for basketball. NBA season is in full swing. The playoff picture is starting to heat up. March Madness is happening. Big, big stuff is happening. What do y'all think?
Let's go.
I think my bracket is screwed. That's what I think.
I think we're in for a good night of college ball tonight. We got the number one defense going up against the number one offense. We got a last year's championship rematch. Like it.
Oh, what?
We're in
what
for
team?
A treat. It's San Diego State against UConn tonight at TD Garden, and then the number one defense against the number one offense, Iowa State against Illinois.
I versus I.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's an I for an I. I think I have Iowa State winning that one. I think you guys didn't get in it. Jonah and Matthew didn't get in, but me, oh, yeah. Owen, Xander, and Simon have a little bracket going. And I'm pretty sure I'm winning. Pretty sure I'm winning in the. Let me see, actually. Yeah, hold up. Yeah, 44 points. Swagel got 42. Xander's at 31.
Yo, okay, and just so you know, if you're listening right now and you want to call in and talk ball, talk anything with us, we want to talk to the people who listen to this show, we want to engage with the community, call in 855-915-9636. If you're in the community, call into the show. We want to debate you. We want to talk to you.
How many people are listening right now?
We got about 600.
Oh my God.
I don't know. Oh, Shoutcut. We got about 18.
Nice.
If you're one of the 18 unique listeners on the radio, give us a call. We'd love to talk.
Pop out.
But anyways, we had some crazy things happen in the NBA last night. A lot of competitive, close games. The Rockets on a 10-game win streak.
I was about to say, I think, honestly, I thought the streak would end. It would have ended yesterday, but it
didn't. I was hoping it would. But.
Yeah. I think it's going to end soon. But that was a crazy game. Rockets take the Thunder. More of the Thunder take the Rockets to overtime. The Thunder had the lead most of the game, I think, and the Rockets kind of rallied. J-Dub hit a nice step into a three, forced OT, but then my Filipino brother, Jay Green. Forget about J-Dub. Jay Green is nice. He's silky.
He's been playing so well.
His layup package is just packaging. UPS, FedEx, all of them. And who else played? Dylan Brooks played very well.
He did airball a three in the clutch, but we don't talk about that.
Oops.
It's okay. He was my friend Xander was cooking me on 2K with Dylan Brooks the other night.
Wow.
So. Yeah, that's a low point for me.
It's a little embarrassing.
The Rockets, though, it's interesting. Sorry.
A man had 25 and 15. That's crazy.
Who had 25?
A man.
A man.
Oh.
And 15.
Thompson.
That's nuts.
I saw Jalen Green's numbers last week. His plus minus is plus 19.9 this last 7 days or something. Plus 19.
Oh.
He's like having a freak week right now. That's kind of unreal. To be honest, I was not a Jalen Green fan for the longest time, but after the last week, I see what people see in him. I mean, his efficiency isn't great, but he's kind of starting to turn it around. So
I mean, he's taking the most shots in the team.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, he should, but he also 10 rebounds, 7 assists last night. 5 turnovers, but...
He's flirting with a triple-double.
Flirting.
See if I can find this.
But also, I feel like... Yeah. Guy who's one of my favorite players in the NBA, Fred VanVleet.
Mm-hmm.
He's not really his role has definitely changed on this Rockets team. Doesn't have to score every night. You know, he's not taking as many shots as Jay Green. But obviously Şengün's out, so different game they're playing. But
so last 7 games, Jalen Green is averaging 34 points, 7.5 rebounds, 5.5 threes on a 50-49 splits, which is kind of insane.
That's crazy.
And Fred VanVleet, I'm counting.
Yo,
now.
You're on the radio.
Hey.
How's it going?
Oh, wait, someone's...
Yo, this is Jonah. I'm the host of Airball, but these are all the people. What's your name?
I'm Mike. Nice to meet you, John.
Yeah. Mike, you said?
Yeah. Who do we got here?
Where's Ike?
Ike.
Sorry.
Yeah. That was where are you from, Mike?
It's Mike. It's
Mike.
Not Ike.
Mike. Mike, not Ike. Mike and
I'm
Ike.
From Los Angeles, California.
Mike, wait.
I'm also from Los Angeles, California. I'm Matthew, by the way, not Mike.
Hey, Matthew, what's up, Mike?
Nice to meet you. Where in Los Angeles?
Hollywood Hills area.
Oh, me too.
Are you by any chance someone that we know, or is this a chance encounter?
It's a chance encounter.
All right, all right. You big basketball fan, Mike?
We've been discussing last
night. I want to get into these issues. I want to hear about these
topics. We've been discussing last night in the NBA, specifically Jalen Green and the Rockets on a 10-game win streak, you know, putting the Warriors on pressure.
What about these Clippers, though? We didn't talk about these Clippers last night.
No,
the Clippers.
These Clippers do deserve a little bit of talking, though. I would agree.
The Clippers
controversial fouls at the end of the game.
Yeah,
No calls, I guess. Actually,
specifically
not
that last play.
I think that was a straight. All that was clean at the end
clean.
Of the game. If you really watched it and knew what you're talking about, it was just clean.
Oubre didn't even get the shot off on time.
For those that know, he didn't get the shot off anyway. But the foul happened in regulation. It like before the buzzer went off.
Not for sure.
But it just wasn't a foul. He jumped straight up.
Also, yeah, Maxey flopped, straight flop from Reese. I don't even know. Honestly, the best thing about the Sixers right now is their unis because they're lost. Oh, no, actually, no. Let me praise Reese for a second, Tyrese. This man's step-back move when he pretends to drive and then just cut back, step back, three, splash. Oh my God, it's absurd. I don't know how his ankles are intact. Dabawe moves fast.
Yeah, that's nuts. I was trying to work on my step back for like an hour in the gym the other day, and I can tell you it's not easy. There are a few air balls.
I think you guys should do a segment where you get some real life demonstrations of some classic.
I brought a basketball. Moment. I brought a basketball to the studio.
If we could get Luca to do Luca step back, Luca Doncic back on the Clippers in the playoffs.
The Clippers. Wow, you're an avid listener if you're speaking speaking the same as us.
Mike from the Hollywood Hills.
You got to be an avid listener.
I mean, you know, Mike.
That's what I'm saying. You're an avid listener.
Mike, it's interesting. We had a guy in the last time we hosted calls. There's a guy named Marcus.
That was his name, Marcus.
Marcus. Oh, yeah, there's a guy named Marcus. Marcus has a
love the M name.
My buddy Marcus. That's my buddy Marcus.
For sure.
He's from the Hollywood Hills as well. Which if I'm not mistaken, I think Matthew's from Hollywood Hills.
Yeah, I'm also from that.
Well, you know a lot about the about air ball.
Actually, is your address 1554?
Oh, whoa.
Seiko Avenue.
We're throwing out addresses.
Hey.
let's get this guy off the radio. Well, I got to ask you a very important question. You say you're from LA, right? And there's this famed rivalry between the Lakers, and the Celtics. Lakers versus the Celtics, and two of my favorite players of all time. Are Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. You talk about them? Or any thoughts on
you must have been around in those days, weren't you?
I was around in those days, yes. back in the days of Magic and Bird. That's one of the greatest. People have been saying we're done with the 90s. I think we're done with the 2000s, 2010, 2020s. Because the real days of basketball were Magic and Bird. You know, those guys were playing against guys like me, guys like Mike.
Yeah, you could say you were on the court almost.
Like me. I wasn't on the court with them, but I was, you know, in spirit. I was an avid watcher of the NBA, and it felt like I was a part of those players on the court because of how passionate I was about the game.
Use that backboard, youngin.
Yeah, a lot of bank shots back in those days.
Well,
yes, sir.
That's wow.
I think there's never going to be a rivalry like Magic and Bird, though. That's the last
what about
one.
Mike and Ike?
Like Mike and Ike, Chet and
Mike
Wemby.
Chet and Wemby is not going to be like that.
What about Sunil Kumar and Tony Monaco?
Oh my God. Huh? What's his name?
I don't know about that. I don't know who those people are.
Yeah, me neither.
They don't have those over in Hollywood.
All right, I got to go to class now.
Class, I thought you were a local.
I gotta go to Hollywood.
Oh, goodness gracious. Bye, Xander. Have a good night. I shut him off.
Nice. All right, great.
Shout out to Mike, man.
Yeah, love listening.
Good listener from Hollywood Hills.
If anyone heard that call and wants to call in now,
More Larry Bird lookalikes, please.
Yeah, you gotta call in 855-915-9636. Repeat, 855-915-9636. Yes, we want to talk about basketball with you.
This is Airball 91.5 FM WMFO Bedford Tubbs Freeform Radio.
I don't know if we said that, so I just had to make sure we did. Can I bring up, we do a little pivot here since we were talking about Bird. I feel like we should do some NBA connections. I don't know if you guys responded to me when I said that. You don't want to?
The problem is, like, these games are hard to do on the radio because the people can't see.
I don't care. All
if
right.
you want to do a connection,
we got four players. No, that means.
But it's not like a consistent flash. Like it's like a brief flash. I can give it a shot.
There we go.
Are they edging or are they gooning?
Perfect.
Hello, hello.
Yo, yo, yo.
Hey.
Who are we talking to?
My name is Michael.
Michael.
Another Mike.
Perfect.
Like Mike.
We just had a Mike.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you guys find Mike, though?
No, it's just Mike. You we thought it was Ike. Mike. Yeah.
Michael, where are you calling from?
Okay. I'm calling from San Francisco.
Nice.
California. All right, you a big basketball fan? What is your area of expertise?
Big basketball fan? Well, yeah, I really just wanted to ask about
what you guys thought of Draymond getting ejected again yesterday and then Steph crying about it.
Yeah. That's brutal. Oh, and you want to take this one?
Yeah, I mean, resident Warriors fan here. To be honest, I'm rather sick of it. Steph's kind of sick of it. He's tired of it. I think there's a bit of babysitting going on. I think the Warriors, Steve Kerr, Steph, they have every reason to be upset at Draymond. Obviously, they need him to be playing in these games, and he's kind of putting himself out of these games. But I mean, I think obviously the crying, the kick in the chair, Steph's tired of it. The team knows they need Draymond, and Draymond should be a lot more under control because this team needs him, and he should be able to control himself to the point where they can make a playoff appearance.
Yeah, Matt. And how concerned are you about the Rockets? And also, do you think this is the last year of the Big Three? You think it's time to move on from Draymond, possibly time to move on from Klay as well?
I don't know about last year of the Big Three, but if I'm the Warriors, I'm concerned about the Rockets. They've got, what, 5 games in 9 days? They play the Mavs twice. They play the Rockets again. They still have the Pelicans and the Jazz.
Wait, the Warriors play the Rockets?
Yeah, Warriors-Rockets coming up. I don't know what the market looks like for Draymond at this point either in his career. I think he's so specific to the Warriors and the way they run their offense. Obviously, he's a huge piece for any playoff team, but looking at breaking up the Big Three is a big test. I think Klay's looking a bit more tradable than Draymond at this point.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to be willing to... Anyone in the league, I don't know if anyone will pay Draymond a bag at this point in his career.
Yeah.
But I think the Warriors would pay him probably more. Maybe he would take a pay cut to stay with the Warriors.
Yeah.
For his next contract. Maybe he has to be realistic.
They both should do. They should both take pay cuts.
Well, he already got his bag, though. He got that 4-year deal.
Yeah.
They can't pay him again, though. No chance.
I saw some funny stuff when Steph hit that dagger and hit the night-night celly.
The whole length of the court.
The whole length, he hit the night-night. Hands on the cheek, and someone was like, night-night has a very different meaning for Draymond.
Yes.
I saw Draymond hit the night-night after the game, too.
Yeah, right?
Steph was kind of just, like, forced to hug him, but, like, I don't know what that mindset is.
That was pretty sickening, like, to look at, to be that happy after getting ejected and just sitting there waiting for your boy doing his celebration as if he bailed you out again. It was... Didn't look right. Didn't sit right either.
Yeah. And you have Steve Kerr, like, at this point, after the suspension and after his whole tirade against Draymond, you're like, oh, he needs to, like, learn to grow. He knows what he needs to do. Now he's done with all of that atonement stuff. Like, now he's just like, well, if he gets ejected, he'll be better next game.
Yeah.
Like, he does not care. And he's been enabling him for years because it's helpful. It's a good strategy to have a guy like that who's willing to just cause chaos and hurt people.
Yeah.
I love those chaos starters. I miss having Pat Bev on the Clippers and, like, that stuff.
Michael, what do you think about the NCAA tonight? What are your predictions?
Hello, hello?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, I think UConn's going to take it by about 20.
Wow, big.
I just think they're way better than they were last year. San Diego State's worse, and they beat them by 20 last year. So,
yeah.
And Dan Hurley's a sicko, man.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw his halftime against Stetson, but they were up 33 at half, and he was pissed off that they weren't playing at a championship level.
Yeah, crazy. 33s.
And then I think Iowa State, Illinois, that's going to be the best game of the night for sure.
Yeah.
And I think that could go either way. I can't really say I got a prediction for that one. And then, you know, in that West region, I think it's squaring up to be UNC versus Arizona in the Elite Eight. I think we get Caleb Love versus RJ Davis.
Yeah.
Battle of that one girl they were fighting over.
Oh, my God.
That'll be a good one.
Caleb Love is an interesting saga. He's one of those guys where, like, college legend for his horrible shot selection in key games to the moments where he delivers and has a storybook moment. He has a really polar... life as a college basketball player. I wonder what his career is going to look like. I feel like he's not done. Chip? I hope so.
He's winning the chip.
I mean...
We got Armando Bacot as well. I feel like he's been around forever.
Yeah, he's one of those guys. He's not going anywhere further. This is the end of the road for him.
Calling that?
I mean, dude, Armando Bacot's just like the definition of a 6'10". What is he? College center with a good post game that can abuse smaller players in the post. But like, as soon as you put Wembanyama on him,
oh my god,
back to Wemby,
glazing.
put a Wemby on him. What is he doing?
Wemby glazing.
I don't really think Caleb Love's gonna make an NBA impact either, though. He strikes me a little bit of like a Marcus Howard type from Marquette, just like really great college guard, and then he's just gonna sit in the G League for a while.
Who's your player to watch this Sweet 16?
Player to watch, I mean, don't love the guy as a person allegedly, but I think that Terrence Shannon versus Iowa State, that's gonna be something to watch for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember that Illinois tournament run with AO a few years ago, where they're a fun team to watch, and when they get going, they get going, and they make for a good game. Just a matter of, can they bring themselves back to the Elite Eight? Are they ready for that? And Iowa State's gonna be a test.
Illinois' name is the Fighting
Illini.
Yeah,
that is a weird.
I don't know. Is Illinois like a Native American tribe that's been co-opted into a state like Oklahoma?
You can't answer that question.
Massachusetts. Wait, Massachusetts is one of those states.
He's facing.
Was Terrence Shannon on that tournament charge. On that tournament final team from Texas Tech? Terrence.
I don't think so.
He's a bad guy, though. I do not think.
Yeah.
I hope he should not win. He should not win.
He's allegedly not the best.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Allegedly. I like throwing allegedly before like most players'
allegedly
names.
Everything.
Allegedly, Caleb Love had good shot selection. We'll leave it on that.
Yeah. Wait. Well, I appreciate you guys letting me call in.
Absolutely.
The rest of the show.
Any parting wisdom?
Not for me to go.
Yeah. Anything you can leave us with?
Yeah. Last thing for you guys to talk about after I hop off this call is just, speaking of conspiracy theories, do you think that the Rockets are going to get a tougher whistle down the stretch and the Warriors are going to get a favorable one so that Adam Silver gets the Lakers and the Warriors in the play-in? Those always seem to bring in the best rating.
Okay, that's it. I like this. Okay.
Yeah.
This is good. I like this. The refs.
It's hard.
You guys can ponder.
Yeah, we'll ponder.
I got to head out, but right, I'll still be listening.
All right.
Appreciate the call, Michael.
Have a good one.
Yeah, appreciate you guys.
Okay. I was thinking about this, considering the fact that we're on the verge of a massive sports betting scandal.
Yeah.
That, I mean, we have Ohtani in baseball. I don't buy that this guy is just, like, embezzling money from him. Okay? It seems too close to home. It seems a bit fishy. I'm not going to accuse him, but I am, like, low-key accusing him. I just don't see how sports gambling can be so widespread, so pervasive in the sport, and so tied
it's
in.
Crazy.
And then you have Michael Porter Jr.'s younger, but
what is Trey Porter? Trace Porter? Something like that.
Johnny Porter, something like that.
Yeah,
something or other Porter who I've never heard of.
Yeah.
Michael Porter's like baby little brother. Betting on games, once again.
On his unders.
Bro, he's putting up 3-1-1 and then saying, I have an eyesore. I have a migraine.
Crazy.
Crazy.
That's and funny. Also, like, if you're Porter, like, there's one guy who's going to be betting on Porter. No one else is betting on Porter's lines. Like, of course this is going to get picked up.
Like, if any Celtics front office people are listening and you're betting on games, you're probably very discreet about it. If I was in the front office and I was betting on games, I would not be an idiot about it.
Let's
little
put a disclaimer. We do not promote gambling at all.
Not whatsoever.
We do not like this. It's not a good thing. It's ruining the sport. No,
it low-key is. Like, years ago, this was the real problem with sports, that the mob was deep in gambling, and the gambling was deep in sports, like under the table. The mob was in sports.
I don't like how much the players have to talk about it.
Yeah.
It's kind of annoying. Just let them play.
Yeah, the J.J. Redick, Old Man in the Three, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook.
They're
like
saying the line
everyone,
at the beginning of every episode.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
The Ruby Rose promo parlays.
I mean, like, to me, ridiculous. It's like sports is a lovely thing in our society, and I think we can purify it by removing gambling from it. I don't think gambling needs to be intertwined with sports.
I agree. I think it takes away from it. Because then people are just watching to make money, which kind of is like, why are you...
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
And it, like, actually poses real threats for athletes when, like, their families are getting threatened after they miss a shot because it didn't hit their parlay.
I mean, like, does Michael Porter Jr. now miss time because his brother's going through all, like, it?
I don't think so.
I don't think he misses time, but it's definitely in his head. Like, his brother, who he's grown up with, worked out with his whole life, obviously watched him make the NBA. They're both proud of each other. He's just seen him throw it away.
Wow. Yeah, he's never coming back. He's a role player. Like, if LeBron was caught gambling, maybe he'd get, like, a little slap on the wrist. Yeah, I didn't even know that. This dude was, like, the bottom of the bench. He's, like, the Charlie Brown Jr. of...
But he was putting up numbers. Like, he was having games as a thing. Like, he would go off for, like, the Raptors. He would go off for, like, 12 one night. And then next night would have, like, 3 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist, would play 6 minutes because he stubbed his toe in the bathroom. I don't know.
I mean, yeah.
Odd. Really odd.
I just don't understand how... In your mind, you can have a successful NBA career. Even if you're in the NBA, you're making millions. And you throw it away for what? Like, what is the point? I mean, I guess you could ask the same thing of someone like Pete Rose. You know, that's probably even a worse example of it because he's a legend. And he's the manager of his own team and all that. But, like, it's really brutal. Like, but you can't expect people to not gamble once you've opened the floodgates of gambling. I mean...
The thing is, too, is with the Porter thing, is how they caught him, is that the biggest winner, the biggest earner every night were Porter's prop bets. So, like, if he's going off for 12 one night, obviously you're thinking, all right, he's going to pick it up. He's going to hit that six-point line. But if he's next night sits out, what, after the first quarter, and all of a sudden, every time he sits out after the first quarter for an injury, the Porter lines are the biggest earners, like, that's how they pick up on it. Because who's betting on Porter's lines?
Probably his guys. Yeah. But then you have, like, okay, I think the biggest implication for gambling in sports is refereeing. Because the referees are the guys that aren't making millions. They make, like, a decent salary.
This is what Michael was just talking about. This is the whistle. Going down the stretch, do the Rockets get a harder whistle than the Warriors? Because the Warriors going through to the play-in will play the Lakers. The
Well, that's almost a different problem, but sorry.
Yeah. I don't think the Warriors are going to make the play-in. No offense, bro.
Yeah, no.
I don't think so.
You think they collapsed on the stretch? The
Rockets have all Rockets the momentum right
pick
now.
Pick it up.
I agree with that. I really see the Rockets as just getting so good. Like, in a few seasons, they're just going to be incredible.
If this Jalen Green keeps up,
I think it can.
And Warriors' schedule's hard.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Let me check the Rockets' schedule. What are they?
I'm looking at this. Oh, I mean,
Jazz.
The Lakers and Kings have distance ahead of the Rockets and Warriors. So the top end of the play-in, regardless of what happens with, like, Mavericks, the 6-7-8 will be one of the Lakers, Kings, and Suns.
Ooh.
Or the Suns. It'll be one of the Lakers, Suns, Mavs, and Kings, regardless of who goes on streaks or whatnot. But the 9 and the 10 seed is really a battle just between the Rockets and Warriors.
Yeah.
I think separated by one game at this point.
Who's got the more back-to-backs left? Warriors just had one.
Interesting. I honestly think the Kings are not safe. I don't like, the Kings are good, but they have a tough schedule. They have Mavericks, Clippers, Knicks, Celtics, Thunder. They have Suns, Pelicans.
Suns away, too. Yeah. No, the Kings look like they could be sitting in a plane at the end of it all.
Kings looking risky. I think the Lakers would pick it up, too, to be honest.
Dude, can we talk about that Lakers game the other night? Also, the Lakers game where Austin Reeves had a 29-point triple-double, and, like, everyone just played incredible. Went double overtime. Yeah. That was nuts. When was that? Like, 2 days ago?
Yeah, Bucks game.
Insane. The Lakers can really just, like... It makes me think, like, when they're doing that, I feel like in big games, they're always going to be able to do that.
Oh, that was without LeBron, too. Wow.
Without LeBron.
Yeah, there was also another game that reassured me, which was the Pacers game, where when you play Indiana, they're pushing the pace. They're sprinting up the court. You're playing without defense. You can't slow the game down against the Pacers. The Lakers put up 150. Their highest scoring game since the 86-87 season. And to me, that's
first
reassuring.
First time in LeBron's career he's broken the 150 point.
I didn't even know that. That's impressive. Yeah. To me, it's like, if they have that switch where, like, if they're playing a fast young team, if they're playing the Thunder, if they're playing, like, who in the West would be like that? Maybe just the Thunder, maybe the Kings. But, like, these high scoring
Mavericks?
Mavericks is a good one. Yeah.
Suns, probably.
But they can outscore teams now. Like,
because they got defense, too.
They can adapt to the team they're playing. And it's also, like, they didn't have LeBron against the Bucks, but, like, LeBron has played against so many teams in his life. Like, he knows how to deal with all sorts of situations. So that's why it's just hard to, like...
Lakers.
Yeah, this is a slightly different topic. But, like, when we're ranking players, I was talking to Xander about this the other day. I kind of put Jimmy Butler. I'm going to say this. I think Jimmy Butler's a top 5 player in the league, and we aren't ready to have that conversation.
Oh, wow. Pivot.
But I think we always forget about him, and every year he's back in the conference finals. year after year after year.
That team just knows how to win, too.
Yeah.
To me, that's what's most important. It's not about, oh, you can do it for 82 games in the regular season. It's like when you want someone to perform in a big game, when you want someone consistently in the playoffs pushing themselves every night, I think Jimmy Butler's giving you a higher baseline than Kawhi because Kawhi's always injured. He's always missing games. Jimmy Butler doesn't miss playoffs.
Okay, but
when Kawhi is healthy, he's healthy.
And he is healthy. He is such a competitor.
He hasn't
got
injured
in them.
Wow. Yep.
Ah, dude, he's injured every playoff series.
Yeah, but when he's not in a playoff series, he's like an unbelievably good playoff player. It's just like a fact. I think he might be better than Jimmy Butler.
Well, he is better than Jimmy Butler. I'm not arguing that. But I think when you factor in dependability, I think that should count for more than we're giving it credit for in playoff discussions of like who's a better player. Like, the guy who is going to be there for a full 7-game series, missing one game in a 7-game series can derail everything. And Jimmy's not the type of guy to miss a game or two or there. No. He'll be there every night.
He'll play 48 every night, too. Mm-hmm.
That counts for a lot. LeBron was that type of guy, too, and that was part of why he was so dominant.
So who do the Heat have first Never round at this point? Who do they have? Is it Celtics? It's the Bucks.
Oh, God. Dude, I love the Eastern Conference. I'm just excited for all these matchups.
It's the Bucks, is it not?
Bucks? Yeah. Oh, that's going to be good.
But it could easily end up being... if they drop points, it could easily be... Or drop games, it could easily be the Celtics. And if you're the Celtics, you do not want the Heat first round.
No.
Not whatsoever.
The Heat could beat the Bucks. I just think the Heat would beat the Bucks if they played them.
I think the Heat could beat the Celtics,
Actually, I really think the Heat could beat any of these teams. The Heat are just such winners.
Yeah. Oh, God. Wow, this is going to be a crazy playoffs. I didn't realize the Bucks had picked it up this much. After that brutal start to the Doc Rivers era.
Yeah.
Same thing happened with Ty Lue when they start. Or no,
it's
when,
true.
What's his name? James Harden got there?
Yeah.
They just needed time.
They needed time. Question is, can...
needed time.
It's going to look really bad if the Bucks are a first-round bounce under Doc Rivers. That backlash is going to be brutal.
It so easily could happen. I do not like Doc Rivers.
Seeding, just doesn't matter anymore.
Seeding is... Yeah.
Unless you're... unless it's just home court, the Celtics, honestly, it depends. Celtics, Knicks, Nuggets, and Lakers probably most you don't want to go away there. You don't want to go play them.
Look at
away.
The Nuggets are slipping too. The West Coast Conference is 0.5.
It's crazy.
The top three teams are 0.5 games with each other. We got a race.
Is Cat coming back?
Good question.
Let me check.
Is Cat coming back?
Because if he does,
then the Timberwolves get back to.
Because I can see if Cat doesn't come back, and if you kind of figure out a way to slow down SGA, I feel like Thunder and Minnesota could be first round exits too.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest. We've kind of talked about this, but. While ago,
you said the Thunder in Minnesota.
Yeah, they could.
Yeah,
I think honestly,
I agree.
Look at the Pelicans.
You know, something I've been thinking about, and this is a thing that happens all across the league.
Oh wow!
The two star, or a star player getting injured can be the best thing that can happen for a team in the long term. Look at the Rockets. Şengün getting injured forces Jalen Green into the one option for a few weeks. And now look at him. Now when Şengün comes back, they're going to have a real two-man game. They're going to actually... maybe it's he's only able to play like this because Şengün isn't on the court. He doesn't know how to play with a one option on the court. Well, let's say maybe Jalen Green is capable of being that guy on his own. Maybe we weren't ready to have that discussion.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
I don't know
Jalen
if I want...
Jalen Green. Oh.
What about him?
That's who you're saying? Is
like,
he's on... Oh, wow.
Like I'm saying that he's starting
have you
to...
Have
Şengün
play, though?
Şengün's better than him. Without a doubt, and he will be better than him.
Yeah.
But Jalen Green
makes everyone better around him.
Yeah.
Which is crazy that Jalen Green is taking off now. I mean, it's happens to every time a star goes out.
Yeah.
Some guys have to pick it up.
Maxi. Maxi's an example of the
Deuce McBride guys.
Yeah. We're talking about Alec Burks on the Pistons. Oh my God.
Love Alec.
Bonafide one option right there.
Love Alec.
Alec. He hasn't been great actually.
No,
since he's been traded.
Prime Alec Burks or prime Terrence Ross?
I love Terrence Ross.
Yeah. Ross.
On
yeah.
He had the dunk of the year in 2015.
Yeah.
Kenneth Faried.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you guys know Terrence Ross's nickname?
No.
T-Bone.
T-Bone? I don't think it's T-Bone.
Did you just say that?
Yeah, I just said that. It just came to mind.
Are you pulling up basketball reference?
Yeah, Human Torch.
Human Torch.
The Human Torch. I like nicknames.
Well, he'll go off for 50 against.
Is that because he looks like Michael B. Jordan?
We were talking about we were talking about nicknames for Caitlin Clark because we don't know what her nickname should be. I was thinking about this because she's one of the first like female athletes where she's so just like she's unlikable, which is great. That's a great thing that people can be like, I hate Caitlin Clark. It's not I hate women.
She's got a nickname.
What is her nickname?
Ponytail Pete.
See, that's like.
That's kind of good.
That's a sick nickname.
We were talking about making a nickname for her that isn't just about her being a woman. Which, like, because you'd be like the Black Mamba Is. Like, oh, that's whack.
I mean,
the Slim Reaper Is.
You have a ponytail without being a woman.
I like ponytail.
I mean, like, I guess you could call the, like, Joakim Noah the ponytail prince or something.
The ponytail.
She's a hooper.
She's a hooper.
Capital H. Hashtag not a driller.
Yeah. We're talking about, like, crazy Caitlin.
No, I think you'd be better than that.
Crazy Caitlin.
Killer Clark.
Killer Clark's good.
Oh,
we're talking about her getting sponsored by Clark's.
Great
like the shoes.
Clark.
Oh, she would pull up
she
the
wears
game.
Clark's.
Clark's NBA.
Clark's basketball shoes
would be kind of funny.
I think they should do that. That's so big for the Clark.
Great White Clark is crazy.
Great White Clark.
Clark attack.
Oh my god.
I like the idea of her hooping in Clark's. That would be sick.
Clark's needs to get in the basketball game.
Clark's rep, Boston Clark's rep. If you're listening, you're missing out right now. You get on this.
Yeah, they missed him.
I think we're kind of slowly getting into it, but I think the resurgence of the basketball shoe.
Yeah, Shea today. Shea signed today.
Whoa.
Shea signed today with Converse, I believe.
They better be some tough shoes.
So he re-signed, I guess.
Maybe he's getting a signature shoe.
Yeah, he deserves one. Out of everyone.
I thought he secured
a signature shoe deal this summer. So I think he had the Converse deal, but now he's getting the Shea ones or whatever.
Yeah, he's a free agent.
I'm kind of shocked that he didn't have a signature shoe already. Like, it seems like a no-brainer
marketable, yeah.
And he's, like, the premier fashion player in the league at this point. Like, he's, like, known for his clothes. Like, no one's going to rock the Jordan Clarksons or the Kuzmas. Like, no one's wearing that.
Jordan Clarkson needs to get in with Caitlin. They need to, like, make this Clarkson.
They can do a commercial where she crosses him up, breaks his ankles, and says, you my Clark's son.
Have you guys seen the Shay?
Wow.
Have you guys seen
the Shay shoes?
They're knit. He has knit shoes.
I saw one where Jordan Clarkson today was wearing quad pants. You see these? It's like a pair of jeans, but there's like a double pair of jeans on the outside.
That's a little rocky. I don't know if I love that.
I don't either. Tyrese Halliburton's been rocking some crazy stuff recently, though.
Wait, can you describe those pants again?
Like, they're like a normal pair of denim jeans.
And then they're sewed on another jean.
Like, just
so double jeans.
It's like
Which pockets do you put your stuff in?
All of them.
You got so much, quadruple pockets.
Got double the amount of pockets.
It's probably the only good thing about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a four-legged alien. If they accidentally left their pants on the bottom of a bathroom and you picked them up and wore them out, that's
so
what
his
fit was.
If you walk on all fours, those pants are great for you.
You could get someone else to, like, put someone else in those pants.
They're just pants for dogs.
You could use those pants in a lot of ways. Like, you could put your arms in them and, like, walk around.
By wearing these pants, Clarkson is saying that he's a dog.
In a certain sense. Also, if anyone wants to call in and talk to us about life, basketball, finance, philosophy. Caitlin Clark, if you are a Celtics fan, you should talk to us.
Sustainable farming.
Geoengineering. Asteroid mining.
Yes. Wow. That's crazy. How did you guys do that?
Artificial intelligence.
Why did you think of asteroid mining at the same time?
We were talking about it this morning.
Your minds are decomposing.
But anyways,
guys.
If anyone wants to talk about one of these assorted topics, it's not just basketball.
What even is asteroid mining?
It's
the future. Just look at it.
It's the future.
Matthew, do you want to give a little spiel about...
Put all your money into it.
Wait, let me read off the number. If you want to call in and talk about one of these many topics, call 855-915-9636. We will have you on. We will talk to you. Come talk to us. if you want to talk about asteroid mining, that is.
Which NBA player is most likely to invest in asteroid mining?
Probably
Jaylen
Kuzma.
Brown. Jaylen
Anyone
Brown.
That has a brain.
Jaylen Brown.
Probably Kyrie.
Yeah.
Kyrie, 100%. But that's, it's not even like...
It's a very established... No, it's not.
Is it, though?
No, it's not. It's
but
like...
How, but it is. Like, if it is a thing that happens, it will be the biggest industry
ever. Yeah, it's
ever.
Speculatively really important. Like, if we can access asteroid mining
but
and figure out how to make it economical...
In, like, 20 years?
Because you'd have to first figure out how to make space... To no. You'd first have to figure out how to make space travel cheaper. And then you'd also have to figure out simultaneously how to bring the asteroids back to Earth. Like, how do you mine... When you're on Earth, you're in the quarry, you're mining, you take the minerals out of the quarry, you ship them wherever on train. How do you do that when you're out of space? You're just launching a meteor shower at Earth? You're going to break cities. You're going to break people.
Okay,
ladies and gentlemen, the Denver Nuggets.
Like, when we're talking about the... Like, when asteroid mining happens, maybe we need a lunar colony team. Like, we need, like, a team...
Starting five lunar colonies.
Oh, my gosh. When space travel becomes readily available, the NBA needs to host their All-Star game on the moon.
This is... Jonah's been talking about this recently. An Intergalactic Basketball Association.
Oh, yeah.
The IBCA?
The IGBA.
Space Jam.
IGBA, yeah. Literally Space Jam.
Away game travel would be a nightmare. It takes you 6 years to get to nearby stadium.
Home court advantage.
Yeah, we got a game in 6 years. We're getting ready for it. Like,
oh my god!
Half the team's gonna lose their knees by that game. Like, you're gonna have to field your rosters when they're all like 16 years old, and hopefully they're in their prime by the time you get to the stadium.
I could see LeBron like freezing his head or something, and then like he has like this insanely high tech alien body, and he's just still hooping in like 100 years. Like, he's just
lunar
still,
colony.
He's been around.
And he leads the league in points in the IGBA.
Okay, yeah. I saw this thing on Instagram. I think it was on Rap TV, so take this with like so much salt that it's just like undrinkable.
Yeah.
Like, some tech CEO said if you can live for 5 more years, you'll be able to live for 500. Like, they're figuring out some tech to make you live forever. If they can cure cancer, they can probably cure aging. So LeBron theoretically could play forever. LeBron, like, if they can cure the aging processes in his body, he'll be cooking my grandchildren.
Can Scott Foster stick around referee forever?
We're entering some deep topics right now.
Yeah.
Immortality, guys? This is absurd.
Well, let's see if, like, LeBron became immortal. And Wembanyama...
Oh.
Wembanyama would have to become immortal as well, yeah. If he is not already, to be honest.
Who would win? LeBron immortal in 1,000 years or Paul Atreides? 5 LeBrons or 1 Paul Atreides?
Paul Atreides is so overrated.
But, like, he can foresee everything LeBron would do.
Who would you revive to immortalize them as a hooper? Who would you revive?
Probably.
Celebrity, could be a hooper, could be any, it could be a Zeus, could be anything.
Wilt.
Who would you revive to bring him back?
I mean,
that's
the easy answer. Wilt is the easy answer.
All right, then. Okay, like, I gotta think then.
Probably Genghis Khan.
Oh, I thought we were talking about
Alexander the Great.
Only, yeah,
Alexander the Great.
Cicero.
At the one.
Oh, wait, we're talking about just all time.
Anything,
humans.
Anything. Yeah.
Joan of Arc.
Oh.
Joan of Arc versus Caitlin Clark.
Dude,
shooting
what?
Shots
Mary
in the dark.
Mary the Virgin against Caitlin Clark.
Mary the Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus
versus Muhammad in a 1v1. Who you got?
Oh my God. Wait, so we can bring two back now. That's an all-timer.
Okay, let's say, like...
Set the stage. Where are we playing? The Colosseum?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Maybe under the Colossus of Rhodes. You construct,
like
a whole court. Like,
it's,
you know,
like the Baylor. It's like the Baylor game outdoors on the...
You
on
bring
the
back one of those military, like those aircraft carriers, park it under the Colossus of Rhodes, put a basketball court on that.
Yeah.
Tough.
Oh, that'd be crazy.
Okay, this is a slightly different question. You could have the all-stars of one empire versus another. Who are you taking, the Romans or the Greeks?
Oh,
I'm taking the Greeks.
God.
So you got like, let's just construct
quick.
Like a 3v3.
I respect the Greeks so much more. I actually don't know who would win though.
You've got Marcus
Probably
Aurelius, you've got Octavian, and you've got Cicero versus Socrates, Aristotle, and Plato.
Do the Greeks show up to this game on a
Who's
Trojan
winning?
In a Trojan horse?
They could.
Oh,
they
kind of
have to.
Yeah.
The Greeks.
Like,
the Greeks.
Even,
I think
like
the Greeks
plus.
Would win.
The Greeks.
The Romans couldn't beat the Greeks.
And Aristotle is the coach.
I would come with the like cynical game plan. Just,
yeah.
Like, clamp on defense. Take all their timeouts, obviously.
Phil Jackson or Aristotle?
The Zen Master versus...
What?
Probably Phil Jackson, to be honest.
Nah. Mulan or Sabrina Ionescu? Guys.
They occupy a quite similar position in the cultural zeitgeist.
Yeah, but
can
Sabrina play in both the WNBA and the NBA like Mulan could? I don't think so.
It's a great question.
Don't think so. Actually, she probably... Okay. We talked about this with Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
Inbound play, Sabrina.
Yeah, you just have Caitlin Clark, like, running around the
elevator.
Court waiting for... Yeah. Oh, an elevator for Caitlin Clark on the three would be sick.
For Sabrina.
Pair her with Wembanyama.
That's my favorite set, by the way. Oh, my God.
This guy. You need a button of, like, a Wemby glazing button.
Yeah.
Just to, like, press... There,
I think the like elevator sets are my favorite set to watch. Which
did any of you guys watch the JJ Redick LeBron thing you said?
Not the most recent episode, but the first one.
The first one, yeah.
But the there was an elevator one the other day. I think the I think UConn did it. It was a double elevator door set. Or was it UConn? It was someone.
It was against Kansas.
Samford. Yeah. Samford did it. But a double elevator. If you don't know what an elevator pick is. Basically, you set it where you have two... It's like two elevator doors. You have two guys setting a pick, and they basically close out once the player runs through. So you basically have built this wall, this door, where the player can run around to the three-point arc and get a free shot with two defenders stuck behind the elevator doors. And it's a sweet set to run. It's super pretty to the eye. And if you... I highly recommend looking up a clip of it because it's just basketball IQ at its finest. But the other day, Samford ran a double elevator door pick. And they got a free shot against Kansas, and they should have beat Kansas. There's that foul call at the end where they got scammed a bit. But favorite set for sure.
Yeah.
Any other favorite plays? Yeah, I mean the floppy's my favorite.
That's the classic one.
Floppies.
Just because I mean classic.
Inverted pick and roll for me. That's my favorite. Just because of the way it relates to matchup hunting, offensive exploitation, and such. I don't know what I'm saying. I need to stop talking.
Jonah made a new shot in basketball where he's like dribbling low and then shoots from down here.
You want me to describe it? It's like a shot putt. Like you're concealing the fact that you're gonna shoot. You're really in a crouched low position, like you're a sumo wrestler or something. Really low to the ground, gathering all the force, pushing, not shooting, pushing. And
it's
you can even
easiest shot to block.
But it's ever. The whole point is it deters the defender from expecting a shot to begin with. The defender's like, oh, he's not going to shoot from there.
Well,
he's not stupid.
Shoot from that deep anyway. Like, if you're going to shoot from that deep where they're not defending you up close.
But in a sense, like, they think it's so stupid they wouldn't even put a hand up. Like, it's more no way you're actually shooting that. And then you shoot it.
I got one. Design your ideal elevator door pick. Who are the two guys you want setting the screen? Who do you want shooting the three on the other end?
I mean, Steph. Probably
Wembanyama
and Draymond.
The two bigs setting the screen.
Oh, okay.
Who do you want? Take like Andre Drummond at one of them.
Glenn Davis.
Oh, that's good.
And big baby Glenn.
It has to be Steph shooting the three, probably.
It has to be Steph.
Yeah.
But that would just be a nightmare. I don't even know.
Or Buddy Hield.
Or Buddy Hield. Yeah, sure.
Buddy.
Sure.
Who else would I pick as a big man? You can't pick, like, super tall dudes, because...
No, they gotta be mobile. They have to be good screeners, pretty much.
They have to move.
Bam Adebayo and Steven Adams.
Add the man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just get some sturdy people.
Luca, do you want to describe floppy? Floppy action NBA, for those who don't know?
I mean, it's kind of... It's imagine... how do I relate it to the word floppy? I mean...
It's not floppy at all. I don't know where
really,
the name comes
it's
from.
It's not very floppy.
It's quite rigid, in fact.
I mean, yeah. A guy starts on one side, and then there's picks on either side of the paint, right? Mm-hmm. And then they
it's kind
of
like
around.
A...
They just kind of, run under the basket and then pop out on one side. But you could, like, trick it, and then you could run, go past one screen on one side, then run you under the basket, pivot, skirt back out, and get the pick again.
Yeah.
That's a cool one.
Yeah.
I like that. What about fist horns back 25?
I don't know.
I'm looking this up. Fist horns back 25.
Yeah, I have a. I used to run this on 2K. It's basically just like a.
Oh, it's in the Heat playbook.
Yeah. It's you make a triangle at the top of the key, basically. Point guard passes to a forward, and then the other guy in the triangle sets the screen. They run around. It's actually super, super simple. But I guess it's an option because you could also go back and just do a handoff with the guy you just passed it to.
Yeah.
And then set another screen. But yeah. You know, when I played 2K, I was the center.
You were?
Yeah, seven footer.
Yeah, that was me too. You know, like, can we talk about this for a second? Because there's nothing more humiliating than spending about $50 to $60 to build your VC player, get them good enough. Because, you know, in the park, like, if you don't spend VC, you're not going to be able to win. Like, you have to be an 85 overall or whatever the minimum is. Like, you can grind, but I don't want to do that. I just want to play park.
Like, I don't pay.
I got VC every year, and I would always be the center, bro. I would just be like, I was just the little guy that would be like, hey, come and give me a screen. I would just get always A-plus teammate grading, yeah. Always rep up faster. But there's something so, like, secondary about being, like, playing 2K. Playing 2K for fun, and you're being used by your teammates. You're literally a vessel for them to have fun. And you're spending money for it.
You gotta take pride in the rebounds and the dunks and the
hoops. You have to.
We respected our center. We loved our center.
I mean, yeah, you need a center. It's like the center one. If you're not good as a guard in 2K, no one will play with you. But everyone wants a center.
The latency and my Wi-Fi combined, I could never be a guard. I can't get the release right, especially in park. So I just like to be 7 foot on the court. It's cool.
It's pretty fun.
What's the last, like, 2K you guys, like, really played?
20 I grinded.
Like, yeah, 20, like 20, like, 20 that was, like, COVID, so I was...
COVID grind?
I played so much park. That was, like, my peak.
I got up
park.
To 98, I think.
Damn.
97.
I was 97, I think.
Yeah. My main game was 17. 17 was a glitchy, terrible 2K. Like, but it was... I have a lot of nostalgia for it.
16. Who was on the cover? Yeah, 16 was that Paul
was,
George?
Like, the best.
Yeah, it's Paul George on the cover.
I had that one, too. Yeah.
It's a really... Yeah. Like, the gameplay was actually really good that year. The dribbling was probably the glitchiest it had ever been. And, like, no, the highest skill dribbling was that year. But it was too glitchy. It was unguardable. And... It was the year that you could get a jetpack if you won the park. Like, you would just take off.
Shoot. My favorite 2K of all time is 13, though.
Who's on the cover of that?
It's, like, the four dudes. Or it's a...
Jay-Z, whatever.
Jay-Z.
No, Jay-Z's it's a Jay-Z soundtrack. Yeah, yeah.
Is that 13?
It's Blake Griffin, KD, Let's get some, and D-Rose.
Should we play some 2K music?
I have the 2K13 sound playlist saved, so I can tell you a song. I listen to this. Not 18. That often, where is my 2K?
Now or Never is the song I associate with 2K. I associate a lot of music
so
with 2K.
18. Around the World, Daft Punk.
Mm. Let's play it on the way out because we still have about
that one's just
six
so
more minutes.
Viva La Vida, Coldplay.
That was on 2K.
2K13.
That was a good year for music in 2K.
Blow the Whistle, Too Short. I don't know.
Do, do, do.
We Major, Bada Kanye. Nas. Oh my god.
It was one song from 17 that I liked. This
Major
is so corny.
Was on 2K13?
Yeah, bro.
Dang. Wrote My Way Out from the Hamilton mixtape.
Hamilton was on?
No. No, the Hamilton mixtape. They basically, like, put, like, Nas, like, on Hamilton. Like, they did. Dave East, Nas. It was actually kind of fire. Like, dare I say.
Hamilton was peaking. They were waxing to the max.
Waxing.
Yeah, I saw it. I saw it with, like, the second cast. It's nostalgic for me for sure. I'm talking about Hamilton.
I'd never see it live.
Not Rip Hamilton, like Hamilton. Like
Rip Hamilton. Shout out to Rip Hamilton.
Rip Hamilton and Rip Hamilton. Like both. Like Rip the heir of Hamilton.
Yeah, I had a Galaxy Opal Rip Hamilton, I think. He was a dog.
Hmm. Wow. I remember 2K17, I spent one pack. I bought one pack. Okay. I know I wasted money on 2K. Like
but who'd you get?
98 overall T-Mac. I sold that dude and built a whole team. I got Sapphire J.R. Smith. I got
Sapphire.
Yeah, he was so good.
Is Galaxy Opal not like one of the coolest words ever?
Galaxy Opal. Oh,
it's so nice. Galaxy. I mean, two words technically, my bad, but
I'm naming my kid Galaxy Opal.
Galaxy Opal Coward.
It has a real ring to it.
Galaxy Opal. You guys ever do face scan on 2K?
Yeah, it didn't work at all for me. It looked so messed up.
Like, my face was, like, shining, and you could, like, see it under my player. Like, it was so great.
What?
Well, I think it might be time for another public service announcement.
No, you don't have to do two. Okay.
I don't have to do two? No, thank God. No. Oh my gosh.
If you did it after one, we're okay. I don't know about that.
Yeah, we can't be talking about that, unfortunately. Is it true? Like, sorry for the people who don't understand what we're talking about. Is that true? Is that happening? We shouldn't talk about it.
No,
we're not talking about it.
Let's not give it a...
We're not getting into that.
Okay, we have a... On the top of elevator door, sure. We've got a call in or a text in saying, Kurt Thomas and Amari Stoudemire screening for Steve Nash in 2007.
That's
what they've picked as
the best one.
Elevator doors.
I mean,
that's okay. From, from a Suns fan.
Amare.
Certainly sounds like
Steve
a Suns
Nash
fan.
Steve Nash is someone you would want on the other end of the elevator door pick, though.
Rapid.
Definitely.
Pace.
Definitely.
He could be a left back.
Steve Nash?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that.
Really a scrappy player.
Actually, there's a good stat here. Going into the playoffs, the Celtics are 19-7 against their Western Conference this season. 19-7.
And the Nuggets is like, what, three of those losses? No, two of those. I think the Nuggets have swept them.
The Celtics have not had the most impressive of years against Western Conference teams. And if you look at the Eastern Conference, you've got teams under 500 who are playing in the play-in, getting playoff spots.
Mm-hmm.
Do we think an Eastern Conference team... Like are the Celtics good enough? Basically, is what I'm saying. Are they better than the best of the Western Conference?
I think they're as good, but every time they lose a game, like in an embarrassing fashion, I just get these moments where I'm like, "This is gonna happen again. It's gonna happen again." Writing's on the wall. Maybe they're not. Maybe Porzingis is gonna like. He's really the X factor for them. If Porzingis plays bad, if he has like a slump in the playoffs, if he's injured in the playoffs, I don't see them as that much better than they were last year, especially as the Bucks get more chemistry. Especially as the Nuggets are there. The Nuggets are better. The Nuggets, until proven otherwise, are the best team in the league and will win. We'll see, though.
I agree with that, too. It's tough.
It's like a non-statement being like, oh, the incumbent's going to win. Like, ugh, it's so boring. But seriously, they're insane.
You're going to look at their notable West
Coast. The Celtics have only lost two straight games twice this season.
Hmm. That's pretty great.
Their notable West wins, Phoenix twice. They beat the Warriors. They beat Dallas. Dallas, I mean, Minnesota once, Lakers, Clippers.
Lakers, Clippers.
Other than that, they're taking L's against the Clippers, the Lakers, Denver. Denver again, OKC, Warriors, Minnesota.
All right, if they lose...
They're losing a lot of the top four Western Conference.
That's terrible for Jason Tatum, just to get... Like,
it's terrible for the Celtics. This is their year.
But I just think it says a lot about Jason Tatum, too. Like, if you're the best player on this team that is so unbelievably perfectly constructed, where your worst offensive player is the best defensive player and everyone else is also good at defense, it's just, like, such a perfect team. If you're the best player on that team and you're considered for MVP and you're not winning a championship with what I think is the best starting lineup in the league and it's not really that
it's
close.
It's one of the best NBA seasons of all time.
And one of the best. Then that says something about him and like a big thing.
Ability to lead a team.
So we'll see. But like, and I still don't think they're going to win.
I think it's going to be the Nuggets.
And I'm just going to, everyone's going to hate on the Celtics and Jason Tatum. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah. But you can't deal him or Jaylen Brown off still, I think.
Mm.
You still can't trade one of them.
No.
Is Tatum in the MVP?
But what do you do? No. How do you make a team better?
You can't make a better team.
I think Tatum just has to become like more of a leader. I don't know.
I don't think Tatum is an MVP conversation, even if they finish the season with the best record in the league, which they will.
He shouldn't be. He shouldn't be because, yeah.
I mean, Jokic is just absurd.
It's Jokic, Shea, Luka right now are favorites.
I'm pissed off that Luka's not going to win it just because I think he deserves it just because he's been doing this and like how is he gonna win it until he's on a better team or like until he gets like he's like they're doing fine, they're playing well and he's putting up unbelievable numbers and all, like there's Shea and there's that, but like I just wish they'd give it to him. I'd like to see Shea win it too, but I just think Luka has to win it.
The thing with Luka and Shea, I feel like they're gonna get better. They could still have a chance even past this season. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see, but...
I just don't want to see Jokic win it, even though...
I think he's going to.
He's going to.
Well, we'll see.
Defensive player of the year?
A man and his horses, man.
You know what I would say.
Oh, yeah, we can go through it, actually.
Let's go defensive player of the year.
Yeah, we got a quick minute. I don't know if we're going to get kicked out of here. But if not, I'm down to stay and just sit.
Yeah, just for a little bit.
Relax.
Defensive player of the year?
Rudy Gobert. Shangu.
Rudy Gobert is the only answer, but I think it's a discrepancy between
Rudy,
who the...
If it's not Rudy, it's Wemby.
That's the problem. You can't pick Wemby. Speaking of Rudy, 4 years ago today, or 4 years ago last week, he touched all the microphones and started the COVID pandemic.
4 years. Huh? That's crazy.
Four years ago. I think this is a bit...
Nas Reed for sixth man of the year?
I think Malik Monk is my answer.
Yeah.
I've had him on my fantasy team all year.
That's true.
Yeah, really good.
We got most improved player.
Maxi. Yeah, I think it's going to be Maxi.
Or who's who are the other guys?